Well, ladies, as you're standing, let's pray this morning, okay? Father, we thank you for this time as we gather together around your word. Father, I thank you that you are going to speak to every woman here this morning, that one word from you can change our entire life from this day forward. Father, I pray that as the word is spoken, God, that you will refresh women, that you will renew women in their walk with you. Father, we come expecting that you were going to do a new thing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, go ahead and have a seat, ladies. First off, I got to get a shout out to my girl, Nikki T. Where's Nicole? There she is. She gave me a massage this morning out in the lobby. Yeah, did y'all know that there's actually a massage area in the lobby? So you didn't even know that? There is a massage area. I needed a massage. I was like, you know, tense, nervous, and plus I had to get all my kids out of the door. And when it comes to getting kids out the door off to school in the morning, when you just want to... I love my children. I will not kill you this morning. I needed a massage. And so Nikki gave me a massage. It was good. It was relaxing. I needed it. Nicole, if you have not gotten a massage out in the little area, feel free. Get your massage. That is my phone. I'm so sorry. Yeah, don't. Turn on. Oh, whoops. Well, this morning, I do want to thank Sharon for this opportunity to share with you this morning. It is an honor and a privilege to bring the word, and I'm going to continue on in the series that Sharon has started called Spreading Hope. Now, hope is a funny thing. You know, we've all heard the phrase, don't get your hopes up, which I think is one of the most ridiculous statements I think I have ever heard. Like, the alternative is just keep your hopes down. Or just don't have any hope at all? Is that a better option? You see, people today seem to be so afraid of disappointment that they would rather live miserable than live with disappointment. And that's what hopelessness leads to. It leads to misery. Believe me, I have been disappointed. I have known loss when I was hoping for a different outcome. But I will take a moment of disappointment any day of the week than a lifetime of misery due to hopelessness. Romans 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God fills us with joy and peace as we trust him. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is trusting God and what he has already promised. Now, we can put our hope in wishful thinking depending on what we put our hope in. There's a lot of people that sometimes put hope in their stability of their job, in their finances, in their money, the fact that they have money, that's where my hope is. They put their hope in other people, thinking that that's what they can rely on. But hope in Jesus is so much more powerful and sustainable because we add our faith to it and we trust him through it. Life will always give us disappointments. We can never go through life expecting to not be disappointed. We all know that trials and hardships come. But how do we respond? Do we respond in hope, trusting God that he is faithful to his word? You know, I found this quote by some random man that says, hope means hoping when things are hopeless or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are fully hopeful, hope is mere flattery and platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. Romans 5, I'm going to read verses 2-5. And it says, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God has given us his Holy Spirit and his word that we can stand on firm. The Holy Spirit is our guide and the word is our map. In order to have hope in his word, you have got to know what the word says about your situation. You have got to be in his word to know his word. The word of God needs to be in you so you can hold on to the hope when life tries to throw a curveball at you. Because his word is unfailing. It is our foundation for everything. We have got to know his word. Hope in Jesus means hope in his name, hope in his word, and hope in his character. He is unfailing. Hope is a confidence that cannot be swayed even when it doesn't make sense. Even when reality is telling you one thing, you have a confidence in something that is far greater than even this reality. But the hard side of hope is in the waiting. The waiting! With hope will always bring that long and dreadful process of waiting. Romans 8, 24 through 25 says, "For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Patiently? Patiently? We have to wait for it patiently. No one likes to wait impatiently. We live in a society where we don't have to wait. I don't even like waiting to get a response to my texts. The minute I send a text, all I want to see is those three little dots. You know what I'm saying? Those three little dots that show that someone is in the process of responding to my text. I love those three little dots. And then, of course, we all get mad when those three little dots appear, and then all of a sudden, they disappear. Like, what happened? I know you were responding. What happened? Come on, man. You were right there. What happened? I could see it. I could see you, and then you stopped. What is that? Are y'all with me on that? Yeah. We don't like to wait. Psalm 33, verse 20 says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield." Isaiah 40, verse 31, and it was on the screen this morning, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." And in a lot of versions of this scripture, it says they will wait on the Lord. They are interchangeable. You can't have hope without the wait. Because many times God is all about the wait. God does some of his best work in us during that waiting time. He's always there in the waiting. But a lot of times we miss God in the waiting because we are too busy to wait with him. We are too disappointed that we're even in the waiting. We are too overwhelmed. We are always looking for God. We say, "God, where are you? I'm waiting." And we always feel like he can't hear us or we can't hear him. But it's always when the waiting is over, when we're on the other side, that's when we say, "Oh, we see God now. Oh, I see that God was at work the whole time." No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It's funny that we see God at work on the other side. On the other side, that's when we see, "Oh, yes, I can see. See, God was in it the whole time. He was at work the whole time. I saw God was at work." No, you didn't. We hate the process when we're in it. Can we see his plan at work in the middle of the working out of the process? It will save us so much heartache if we can see God in the middle of the waiting instead of waiting till the end and looking back. God is there in the middle of the wait. Psalm 39, verse 7 says, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." We have to have a confidence that knows that there is nothing, nothing that can separate us. In the midst of our searching, in the midst of our waiting, we can't lose hope. So what does it take to have hope in the middle of the storm? Hebrews 6, verse 19 says, "We have this hope," and we know this verse. I saw a lady wearing this scripture on her shirt this morning. Where are you at? I saw her. Where's she at? There she is. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Everyone's looking, yes. We know that life is full of storms. The waves come, the wind comes, the waves, the wind, the rain, and it can be overwhelming in the middle of that chaos. We're being tossed about. You know, but I find it's funny, I found that most people actually don't drown in the storm. They actually make it to the other side. It may feel like we're drowning when we're in the middle of our chaos, but we actually do make it to the other side. Even the world seems to find a way to make it to the others. They get through it. They find it in their own strength to try and make it through, or they use some sort of coping mechanism to make it to the other side. That may just be all that they're doing now. Instead of living, they're just coping. But they usually can stay afloat. We usually can stay afloat during the storm. So the real question is not, hey, did you survive this storm that you went through? Did you survive? Did you make it through? Did you stay afloat? The real question is, where did you come out on the other side of that storm? Do you still believe the same about God going into the storm as you do coming out? Can you still trust God? Can you still trust people? Has your faith been rocked to its core? You see, this is what happens when we don't have our faith and our hope anchored in Jesus. The battle is on and we're swimming and we're paddling. We're trying to stay afloat. We don't have time to look around and say, well, where's the shore again? Where's my boat? Where did I start? I'm just treading water over here. The fight is on. I'm just trying to get through this. I can't outrun the storm. I'm riding it out. So we're just paddling and swimming wherever the storm takes us. But where do the waves take you? Where does that current, that drift, lead you? Because without that anchor in the middle of the storm, you may end up over here in unbelief. I used to believe that God would do this, but I just don't know anymore. I used to believe that God heard my prayers, but not so sure. I used to believe that God could heal anyone, but maybe not. I used to believe that God would provide, but he didn't here, so maybe I'm over here. Or maybe the current takes us over here. And we end up in distrust and unforgiveness. I used to trust her, but she stabbed me in the back, and I don't trust her anymore. Or I used to trust this person, and I was so disappointed, just like everybody else. Just goes to show you can't trust anybody anymore. That drift may take you where you don't want to go. That drift may take you where you thought you would never end up. You know, I remember making these statements. God, I will follow you anywhere, through anything. God, I give you everything. I don't hold anything back. I give you total control. And then the storm comes and choices are made. And I'm not so good at keeping those promises anymore. You see, reality is telling you one thing. But what does your faith tell you? Because many times they are opposites. They are contradictions competing for your attention. Reality says you don't have enough. But the word says he is more than enough. Your body is sick, but the word says by his stripes you are healed. The world says these times are dreadful. Everything's hopeless. You should be afraid. Be very afraid. But the word says that God is with you and do not fear. You see, the reality of life can be so daunting that we find ourselves in a sea of doubt instead of a sea of hope. So who are you going to believe? Who do you put your trust in? You know, I remember years back, this was back in high school, I knew a girl in my youth group, and she loved the Lord. She was a solid Christian. And she started to get involved in some stuff very naively and innocently, but she started to get to dabble in some D&D. D&D is Dungeons and Dragons. That's a role-playing game way back in the day. And it's a little creepy and leads to some not so good things. So she found herself getting pulled more and more to this kind of dark side. And she felt herself changing a little bit. And she started to feel like something wasn't right, you know, like in here. Something's not right. She started to have some, you know, weird dreams. She started to get some nightmares. And it just wasn't good. And now the good thing is that she could tell that something wasn't right with her. And she knew, this isn't right. This isn't good. I need to make a change because I don't think this is good for my soul. And so she got out of it completely. And she never did it again. And later, much later, she was praying about it all, and she was talking to the Lord about it, about the whole situation. And she felt the Lord tell her that the enemy was scheming for your soul. He had a plan to take her out. The devil had a plan to lead her down this dark path, and as a result, he had a plan for her to kill herself. That was his ultimate goal, was for her to commit suicide. And I've never forgotten that story. Years and years later, I've always remembered that thought that the devil was scheming for her soul. And I don't tell you that to be creepy and scary and stuff, but I wanted to remind you, Ephesians 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you take your stand against the devil's schemes. He will feed you lies and take advantage of any obstacle and any storm that you are in to trip you up and cause you to drift into that sea of doubt." You know, but by the grace of God, she became aware that she knew that something was going on in her heart and she needed to change that. And a lot of times, we don't even see that we've drifted. We're not even aware that we're in this sea of doubt. We've drifted so far. Sometimes we don't even care because we're just so glad to be out of the storm. I don't even care. Where's my foundation in Jesus? I don't know. I'm just so glad to be through that. Sometimes it takes someone else pointing it out. Hey, you know, you don't quite seem the same anymore as you did before. And that is why we need that anchor of hope. And I got a little something for you this morning. This is... And I'm going to try and do this with two hands. This is my anchor. Now, this doesn't look like an anchor to me because I'm used to the anchor that looks like a pirate ship anchor and a Navy anchor and stuff. But apparently, this is the anchor that they use nowadays for your boat. So this is our anchor. That's my anchor. This is my hope in Jesus, in his word, and what he says about me. That's my anchor. So it's tied to me. That's my anchor. I am firmly planted in the fact that his word is never failing. That he has a plan for my life, that he is my healer, he is my provider, he is my hope. I'm planted in this word. And this word doesn't move. It's planted. So when the storm comes and I'm drifting and I'm just trying to stay afloat. Oh, wait a minute. I'm trying to, you know, I'm not trying to go this way, but, you know, the current's just pulling me. The drift is, you know, I'm being pulled this way, but I don't seem to be going that way. I'm kind of just staying right here. I'm planted. My faith is not rocked. My hope does not pick up and replant somewhere else, in something else. The anchor never lets go. It doesn't get any lighter. It doesn't lose its weight that's grounded. Oftentimes that weight that we feel in life isn't a bad thing. It's the anchor holding us to the steadfast promises of God that keep us from drifting. That anchor saves us from ourselves. But we need this anchor in place before the storm comes. It's got to be there beforehand. We've got to have a confidence that knows that Jesus will sustain us. You know, there's a difference between hope and misery, and it's what you have chosen to anchor yourself to. There has got to be this anchor deep down up in here that says, I have a confidence that nothing will cause me to sway, to drift from my walk. There are many Christians, many times, that have left their walk high and dry. They've let their relationship with Jesus dwindle and just end up where they know it shouldn't be. And it's because they've got to be anchored that says, I will never allow myself to drift from my faith, from my beliefs, and my hope in Jesus alone. And not everyone has that kind of confidence, that hope that we've been talking about. The storm has been too much. It's been too overwhelming, and I've had all the hope sucked right out of me. And that is why spreading hope is so important. There is so much hopelessness. It is so easy to let that current just take us, just take me wherever you lead. Wherever I end up in God is just where I end up. And we justify that that's okay, and it's not okay. We as the church and as women of God, we have to have more stability in his word, in this faith. We find ourselves so firmly planted that we cannot be swayed no matter what. Psalm 119 verse 114 says, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. He helps me. My heart leaps for joy. And with my song, I will praise him. And then one of my favorites, Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And I want to give you this morning three quick keys. Three keys to spreading hope in your world. And the first one is encourage, encourage, encourage. And make it personal. Acts 20 verse 2 says, traveling through the country, this is Paul, traveling through the country, passing from one gathering to another, he gave constant encouragement, lifting their spirits and charging them with fresh hope. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant and to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You know, we can get so good at posting those broad encouragements on social media, which is great, don't get me wrong. But we can forget that encouragement carries its greatest weight when we make it personal. We've got to remember that the best kind and the best way to encourage is to make it one-on-one, person-to-person, heart-to-heart. And that requires getting in people's worlds, getting involved in your girlfriend's lives, knowing when the storms of life are going on. Do you know when the people around you are going through stuff? Do you know when to encourage? Because you know. Oh. And then be willing to take the next step. Reach out. You never know what a word of encouragement can do for something, for someone that is needing hope. They are needing a lifeline. And even a reminder that not only is God with you in this, but I am with you here too. I am in the fight with you. Don't forget to use your voice. And Pastor Sharon talked about this last week. One of the greatest powers of our voice is to bring encouragement. Never underestimate the power that your voice can bring in someone else's life and the impact that you can have in bringing hope in the midst of someone's storm. Encourage, encourage, encourage. Make it personal. Number two, we all play a part in spreading hope. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and this is from the Message. It says, "So speak encouraging words one to another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. I know you are already doing this. Just keep doing it." And I'm slowly pulling out. Whoops. So I heard about this incident this past July, and you may have heard about it too. It was on the news and stuff, and it was everywhere, where these two young boys were caught in a rip current on the coast of Panama City, Florida. And so these two young boys were out in the current, and they got too far. And so the mom and the grandma swam out to go get them, and they got caught in the rip current too. So now they're stuck. So 80 strangers formed a human chain that went from the shoreline all the way out to where this little family was, which was about 15 feet deep in the ocean, way far out. 80 strangers linked arms, grabbed hands. There it is. That's part of it. 80 strangers to bring in this family of four. This is what we do in spreading hope. As we are anchored in Jesus, we join together to bring in those that are adrift. We need each other because we're anchored too. We can't always do it on our own. We have to spread hope together. Because your encouragement plus my encouragement, plus her encouragement, may be just what someone needs to get that revelation of hope for themselves. Don't be discouraged if it takes more than just you to do the job. We all need to do our part in reaching everyone so that no one is left behind, that no one is left out in this expanse of hopelessness. And then the last one, number three, spreading hope for others builds hope in you as well. And I love this principle of God because it is goes against all natural thoughts that says that if I give out of myself, if I give away myself, then that means I have less and I've expended myself because I've poured into you. But in actuality, when we give of ourselves, we actually build ourselves up as well in the process. When we sow peace, We reap peace when we sow finances. Oh, we reap finances. And when we sow hope, we reap hope. It's that principle of sowing and reaping, and it never changes. We never outgrow the need to spread hope. This is one of our primary goals, that we can never lose sight that others are lost and that they need hope that you have. They're out in the storm. They're in the midst. They're just trying to stay afloat. They're adrift. They need a lifeline that you have. You are bringers of hope. We just have to walk in it. Be the hope that others need.